this is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight for the first time from our permanent Seaside location right here in East Tennessee. We're glad to have you aboard from Hallelujah Acres tonight. Part one of Who is the Father? We got a great message for you. Won't you stay tuned? But before we get started here, we're going to remind you that we will be in fellowship here on October the 3rd. That'll be on a Saturday evening. It will start around 1 o'clock, Yahweh willing, and the creek don't rise. And we hope and trust that all goes well with you and your neighbors and friends around this country. We're in perilous times, we know that. And, you know, every year we pray and say, Father, is this going to be our last gathering? You never know, folks, because, you know, the Bible says when they begin to eat and to drink and to be merry, and they forget to look up, they forget to pray, they forget to seek Him, then Satan has, he's turned their heart away from the Father. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, who is the Father? We're going to try to reveal that message to you tonight, so we want you to stay tuned for the whole hour here from Hallelujah Acres in Eastern Tennessee. We're glad to have you aboard. Like I say, and this is our first maiden launch from the Seaside. This is permanent Seaside. We will be starting next May. We'll be here for a permanent festival here at the new Seaside of Hallelujah Acres. We're so thankful. You know, many brothers and sisters around the nation have made this event that we are here tonight has made this possible. Many prayers, many sacred circles, many petitions to the Father to provide for us, and he's done that, ladies and gentlemen. He's made a permanent place for us. We pray that the Father will bless those that attend. So once you get acclimated and you attend here next May at the Passover service, then you'll know that we'll be here, Yahweh willing, every year hence at this location, unless Yahweh changes His mind and situation dictates to us otherwise. So we're glad to have you aboard. Now remember, our meeting in Murphy, North Carolina. It's going to be on October the 3rd. Call for information, and I'd like to give you a new number tonight that you could call after the broadcast if you'd like to make plans to attend our service. We're down here trying to get this Seaside ready for next May. And hope and trust that we can get all that. We're in the process of doing a lot of things. We've had a very busy last month concluding all the plans for the Seaside, and we're still working, and we're probably working into probably next May, and probably we still won't be done. But we are preparing. You know, the Bible said that a wise man, he'll prepare. An ant will prepare in the summertime. You'll never see an ant bouncing around over the snow and the cold, because he's got his food prepared, and he's in a warm place. And we're so thankful, praise Yahweh, that Yahweh has really blessed us. So once again, I'd like to thank those who have prayed, and those who have fasted, and those that have got on the sacred circle and lifted up prayers on behalf of the Shepherd's Call and our effort to have a permanent Seaside. It's already matured and come to pass, and we're so thankful. Now let's go to the scriptures tonight. We're going to begin in the book of Matthew, and we're going to ask you to get your pen and paper. This is a very important message for you that do not understand who the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is. We're going to give you definite proof right out of the Bible, and it's going to reveal to you just Yeshua means in Hebrew Savior. So when I say Yahweh Yeshua, I'm saying Yahweh the Savior. And we don't subscribe to the New Testament name of Jesus, and I'll tell you why. It's because that Jesus, there was no J's in 1611, of course, and most of you already know that. So listen to our messages over the years. There was no J in 1611. There's no J's in the original 1611 Bible. The I was a substitute for the Hebrew Y. There has never been any J's. Now let me repeat this. There has never been any Hebrew, in the Hebrew, there's never been any J's in the Hebrew language. There's none at the time of the Messiah. He never used the word J. He never called himself Jesus. And this is sad, because it disappointed a lot of those people that's read and studied the Bible and honestly and sincerely believed in their heart, and they've adopted the name of Jesus. It's the one that they pray to, and it's the one that get baptized mostly in. I know for 30 years, ladies and gentlemen, I was preaching in the name of Jesus, baptizing in the name of Jesus, but when I came to the full knowledge, the Bible said to grow in grace and knowledge that you might have peace in your heart. The greatest peace that was ever given unto me, and yet it was the greatest disruption at the same time. I know that my spiritual man was deeply satisfied when it was revealed to me that the name Jesus was incorrect. And the real name became to fruition in my spirit. Now, again, I said the Bible said to grow in grace and knowledge of who that Son is. Now, let me give you a little demonstration of the mystery of the Bible. Great is the mystery of godliness. This is 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, we're going to have more to say about that when we conclude the three-part series that we're going to start tonight, Who is the Father? Well, the Bible says in John chapter 4, now, to get this down pat, you need to start. If this is new to you and you've never heard this, and some of you, it's true that it is new to you. However, if you would pray, and if you would fast, and if you would seek the Word, the Bible said that God, the one you call God, is a spirit. Now, a spirit is not a person. The spirit is everywhere. It's prevailing throughout all eternity. And it can't be limited to a certain place. Now, when the Messiah came, he had to walk. Or he rode a mule, and of course there's scriptures to indicate that he rode a mule. And yet, that spirit that was embodied in him. Now the Bible says that God was in Christ. That means that the spirit was in him. And God is a spirit. So the body was made flesh. And I know it's a mystery. Great is a mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and God was justified in this flesh body by revealing who he was. And when he said who he was, the people that thought he was blaspheming because he made himself equal with God. Now, if you'd like to have that scripture to write down, just write John 10:30. And John 10:31, 32, and verse 33, and you'll see the reaction of the people who thought that this man that walked on the earth, they knew where he was born. He was born of a Virgin Mary. Now the Bible says that in relationship to being born, let's give you a verse of scripture about the birth of the Messiah, and when he was born, learned, and for what purpose. Now, we're going back to the old prophet in the book of the Psalms. Notice this. Psalms 89, verses 26, 27, and 28. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the support or the source of my salvation. And verse 28, and I will make him my firstborn high above all the kings of the earth. Well, who did that? You say, well, when we read this, it sounds like there's two people involved here. Well, actually, there's not two people, but there's two sources of energy prevailing here to create something out of nothing. Now, we know that the scriptures teach that God created the heaven and earth. Now, we also know, according to the book of Philippians, that this man that came on the earth in a flesh body, it's revealed in Colossians 1, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19, that he is the very one that created all things in heaven and earth. You need to read that, neighbor, and we'll get into that as we go down through the scriptures in the next 3-hour series here of who is the Father. We want to break it down and simplify it where that you will not think it's robbery to make the Son, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, is there a scripture to verify that? Yes, there is. We're going to give it to you right now. It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, and verse 6. I feel the holy anointing here at Hallelujah Acres. I really do. There is a peace and a fulfillment in my spirit tonight that is being lifted up into my soul, that it's a great honor to preach the revelation of the Father in the Messiah. The Bible said that God was in Christ. Now, the word Christ is a Greek word, anointing, and we don't like to use it, but for your sake, we will use these words for you. In other words, the anointing was in this body of flesh. That's what it's talking about. And in this anointing, it has the power to raise the dead. It had power to cast out devils. It had power to heal the sick. It had power to save eternally those who would come to him. Now, for unto us, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us, now, who's us? Those who were predestinated from the foundation of the world to be chosen and to be included into the revelation, and this is a great mystery, ladies and gentlemen. If you can't see the oneness revelation, I fear for you. Why? Because in the book of James, it said, if you believe that there's one God, you believe well. The devil believes and trembles. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we know that the flesh man, part of God, when he became a man, the Bible said he found himself in a form and a fashion of a man. Unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and the government, that is the eternal purpose of the whole reasoning for God's plan. It's a master plan that includes only those who were with him before the foundation of the world. Now, don't let that bother you, or don't let that excite you, because if a gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. I want you to believe that tonight, and follow me and pray for me as I try to reveal to you the simplicity that is in this message of oneness tonight. Unto us a child is born, and the government is upon his shoulder. My, what big shoulders he had. He created everything, ladies and gentlemen, but he found himself in a form of a man, and he humbled himself, and he grew in grace and knowledge. He fasted, he prayed, he demonstrated. It wasn't his purpose to become God. His purpose was, as reveal to you how that you could become a son of that living God and live with him forever in the eternal kingdom, and to recognize him and to confess him and to put upon yourself that great and that magnanimous name that's above every name. I'm going to prove that. And his name, listen to me, neighbor, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father. Now let me repeat that. The Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor, and the Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how plain, I mean, how can you deny Isaiah? You say, oh, well, Isaiah was mixed up. He didn't understand. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if the prophets are not qualified, then there's no use us taking the Bible and trying to prove all things. Now, the Bible said to search the Scriptures and to rightly divide them. Now, in conjunction with Isaiah 9 and 6, there is a beautiful scripture. It is a powerful scripture to those that are striving to enter in at the straight gate. And it's in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 7, verse 14. Unto us, here it says in Isaiah 9 and 6, a child is born. Now, the Bible reveals in 7:14 Isaiah that his name is going to be revealed as the name of God. The name that most of the Hebrews have been taught to forget. Only qualified, now this is man's doctrine, not Yahweh's doctrine, because Yahweh wanted his name to be declared throughout the earth. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, now listen to me well, in chapter 23 of the book of Jeremiah, it says exactly that they would cause man, that is the sons of Yah, who are predestinated to hear this gospel and come to him and take his mighty name upon them. Now, the job of Satan is to kill you, steal you, and destroy you. And what he's done, he's stolen away the name of the Creator, the true name. He's hid it. And he's made it very difficult for you as you search and as you pray and as you wonder and as you ponder these great mysteries of the Bible. For it says, great is the mystery of godliness. Isaiah 64:8, and now, Yahweh, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and you are our maker. We are the works of your hands. Now, I want to give you a little clue here of eventually where we're going to in this message, that Yahweh knew you before the foundation of the world. In Jeremiah chapter 1, it's revealed in verse 10 that Yahweh knew Jeremiah before he ever come in his mother's womb. Now, how could that be, Pastor Buddy? Well, the Spirit is eternal. There's a part of you that is not a temporary existence. Now, the flesh man, including all of us, there's a time to be born and a time to die. But there's something in us if we do have the link back to the Father. All that the Father hath given me, the Son said, I have lost none. All that the Father hath given me, Matthew 5:45 says, that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. Now, the Father is a spirit. Heaven is the eternal abode of all that exists. And yet the Son, in the limited capacity, in other words, the fullness of a Godhead, was in the Son, reconciling the world unto himself. That was the Father in the body of flesh, disguising and saying strange things here, to confuse those to whom the gospel is supposed to be hid from. Now, I have told you and told you and told you that you may understand this, that the Father had to hide the gospel in Are you talking about the Trinity, Pastor Buddy? Well, in part three, we're going to deal with the issues of the people who think that God is three persons separate but inseparable. That, ladies and gentlemen, see, Satan is trying to divide your allegiance. And he's trying to pull you away from where you should put the emphasis and the glory upon the man that came and died for you in a flesh body. Once you recognize this, you will become the children of the Father in heaven, who maketh his Son to rise upon the good and the bad, and reigns upon the just and the unjust for the purposes and the intentions of his plans. Now, the Bible says, I have lost none. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, you are my salvation. Now, the Bible says that salvation is in no other name. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to go there, and I've got to give you a gestalt here and a text to show you that the Father loves you, and if you love the Father, you will love Yahweh, Yeshua, in a flesh body. And why would you say that? Because it seemed good in his sight, as he said at that time, the Messiah, in Matthew 11:25. Now, it also said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Everybody thinks that the Father is going to be a separate being sitting on the throne, and the Son is going to be standing there as another being, an offspring from that Father, who is not a person. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, God is an eternal spirit. But he manifested his power and his very being in that body of flesh, for God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Matthew 11:25, at that time the Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua in a flesh body, answered and said, I confess to you, O Father, the Master of heaven and earth, because that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes and sucklings. Isn't that a beautiful verse of Scripture? And you say, well, it seems like he's trying to trick us here. Well, that's exactly right. Did you know that the Bible says that God, the Father, would send these people who were lost a strong delusion that they might be destroyed? Now, you say, oh, that's unfair. God loves everybody. God ain't got no respect of persons, and surely he loves everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know one thing? That it is evident from the very beginning of Genesis down through the book of Revelation that it's evident that God in truly does not love everyone. God hates every false way and everybody that's involved in falsehood. And then now enter Satan. Now enter the sea. You know what's bringing so much sorrow and sin and sickness and disease and evil? You know why we have to buy locks and get guns and things of this nature? It's not because that God don't love everybody. It's because that this earth is divided into segments of different seeds. There's a war against certain seeds, and it will always be because this animosity and this hatred and violence is built, it's an eternal seed source. The good battle against the evil, and the evil hate the good, and there is a battle of the seeds, and I call it the royal seed battle, that Satan and his angels, and his offspring. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, Satan can't get no children. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that is one of the biggest obstacles to human thinking. Now, the carnal mind is not subject to God, and neither can it be. Indeed, it can be. And so then, if the carnal mind can't grasp the spiritual revelation in the side, that's because that God has sent that evil seed a strong delusion. He will not, and I'm going to repeat this, and it might offend somebody. Not everybody's going to heaven. Somebody's going to be lost. You say, well, stay here. Everybody could go to heaven because God can save anybody who'll come to him and confess Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, if that was true, then we'd have to back up and forgive Cain. There was no forgiveness for Cain. Although he attempted, although he tried to worship, he was not accepted, he was rejected. We would have to apologize to Esau, because Esau repented and sought this plan that I'm talking about tonight. He sought it with tears in his eyes, and yet he was denied, and it simply was evident that before he was ever born, God hated him. Now, that means that God doesn't love everybody. If God hated one person, and you said that God loves everybody, and it says that he don't love Esau, and he did love Esau, and he didn't love Cain, neither does he love those who are born after their seed. Satan has literally got a seed in the earth, and that's why all the evil, that's why all the locks, that's why all the sin, that's why all the sickness, that's why all the disease, and that's why all the battles, that's why all the struggles, that's why all the prayerful, fearful things that we have to walk through. All things are delivered to me by my Father. 11:27. Now, I want you to grasp the substance of what he's saying here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. No one knoweth the Son but the Father. Now, let me repeat that. No one, what he's saying here in essence, no one knows who the Son is but the Father. But neither doth anyone know the Father but the Son, and to he whom to ever it shall please the Son to reveal him. Now let me hold right there. The Son, that's a manifested body of flesh. Once you get this understanding and know who the Son is, you'll come to the Father. And I'll prove that to you just a little bit later here in the book of John, and as we get into the book of John, concerning the Father and the Son. For whosoever, this is Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father that is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. Now, isn't that a strange scripture? Whosoever does the will of my Father? What is the will of the Father? Well, we're going to get into what that will is. Did you know it was the will of the eternal spirit, which it was not a man? God is not a person. That you should look at him and like you look at a flesh and blood body. But the will of the Father was that he would reveal himself in a flesh body and tell you who was in that flesh body. You say, oh, Pastor Benny, I just can't comprehend that. Let's go upon the mount for just a moment in the book of Matthew chapter 17. Did you know that nobody had ever seen the shape of the Father? The Father didn't have a shape. And that's exactly what it said. Nobody will ever hear the voice or see the shape of the Father. Now, it's impossible, because when God utters his voice, seven thunders, thunder and the earth quakes and shakes and the whole heavens reverberate with the power of that spoken word. Because, you see, God's eternal spirit, who created everything and brought everything into existence, was the Son, who was later manifest in a flesh body, for God the Father was in the Son reconciling the world unto himself. Now, can you get that? The spirit man, the spirit that's in you, can it grasp that? Do you see the mystery here? That God has hid it from the wise by all these things that he's talking about. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no one knows who the Son is but the Father. But nobody knows who the Father is but the Son. and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father, but you will not know either one of them until the Son reveals it to you. Now, listen to this now. All that learns of the Father will come to me, saith the Son. All that learns of the Father. Who is your Father? We're going to get into that in part two as we really tighten the grip of this message in its entirety, because we feel it's very important here at Hallelujah Acres to give you this revelation tonight, and that you could say, praise Yahweh, hallelujah. Now, hallelujah is a poetic, shortened form of the name Yahweh. Yahweh in the Hebrew Bible is printed 6,823 times. Wherever you see in the King James Bible, you see they took his name out. They knew what it was. They knew how to write it. And yet there was a mass of confusion of the priesthood who did not want to share this wonderful, truthful name with the world, and so they became selfish, and the priesthood wanted to ensure their place and their power by keeping that name secret and hiding it. Now in Proverbs 30, verse 4, did you know that the Father tells you right there in that mystery what is the Son's name and what is the Father's name, if you can tell? So you've got a mission here to find out what the Father's name is, and when you find the Father's name, you're going to find the Son's name, because the Father and the Son had and has and still does have the name above every name. It's the same name. There's not no Jesus in the New Testament and Jehovah in the Old Testament. Both those names are erroneous. Even the people that wrote or print the King James Bible have put out apologies, put in that into the old King James Bible. They knew it was a mistake after that they learned that the translators had deceived even the ones that printed the Bible. They make an apology for that. And to prove that, all you've got to do is go to the King James Bible, New Open Bible. It's a New Open Bible. They come along and they tell you that Lord, L-O-R-D, was a hybrid expression. It's a title that doesn't denote the name. It just points toward the attributes of a Lord. Well, in Britain, the Lords of Commons, in the House of Commons, they're called Lords. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says there's many Lords. And so then the Bible wouldn't leave you hanging or in doubt when it says Lord. You know that if there's many Lords, that has to be confusion, because then the next obvious question and logical question, which one? If there's many, which one? Well, what about gods? There's many Lords and many gods. And the devil only believes in one. He knows what his name is. Satan knew from the very beginning when he tried to exalt his throne above Yahweh's, he said, I'll cast you down. O Satan, O Lucifer, son of the morning, which did weaken the nations. You know how he weakened the nations, ladies and gentlemen? He sowed a tare right in the wheat field. Now, anybody that's ever studied parables in nature, going to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, could understand, a blind man could understand, if he had it read to him, he could understand what a tare was as opposed to the wheat, and how the tare was sowed into the field. Now, sow is mingle. And the word mingle means to inject a seed, a sperm. And Satan, the tare, in this case, that's what he's talking about, the enemy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have an enemy, you say, well, I just went to the church down there, and glory to God, and I confess Jesus, and Lord, I'm saved, and Lord, I've got them on my way to heaven, and then they turn out and go into the world, and they act like the world, they are the world, straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and only a few there be that find that true name. Do you know the Father? Brothers and sisters, I want you to really be honest with me. Do you really know who the Father is? Matthew 11:25. He said, I confess you, O Father, Lord of heaven, that you hid these things from the wise and prudent, but you've revealed them to the little ones. Oh my, when you see, when the anointing of the truth, the oneness doctrine of the truth, when it comes, if you are a sheep, you're going to get it. Now, you may struggle with it at first, but then after a while, you're going to mount up, and your wings, you're going to spread them wings. You're going to leave the nest of the great eagle, and you're going to fly, and you're going to soar high to heights, unimaginable heights, as you go spiritually upward in the revelation of your Father. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no one knows the Son. Now, how do you know the Son? Well, I know Him as Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Have you ever understood that Jesus just might be the trigger to bring forth a false name? Did you know that the Bible said, and they worshiped a name of blasphemy? Could you comprehend the name that you love, the name that you've been made to adore, the name that you've made to be confessed, the name that you read in your Bible, that may be a wrong name? And I don't make no apologies for it, but I do sympathize and emphasize this point tonight, that I was in the same boat. I would have had my head chopped off for Jesus. I really loved Him, and I could read that Bible, and I loved it, and I held to it, and I clung to it. I fasted, I prayed, and I did everything in the name of Jesus. The Bible said, when you do it all in my name. And I could read in the New Testament that His name was Jesus. I am come. Now listen to me right now as I go to the book of John, chapter 5, verse 43. Listen to what the Son said. And the Bible said, no man knows who the Father is except the Son. And no man knows who the Son is except the Father. So listen to this now. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. Ladies and gentlemen, what was he talking about? I am come in my Father's name. What was the Father's name? You say, well, that's easy. The King James Bible said with Jehovah. And we've got these Jehovah Witnesses running around here and carrying their little booklets and their little trinkets and selling their little kingdom tower things. And ladies and gentlemen, they know when you say, you know, everybody thinks, you know, they're afraid of them. Because they say, oh, I don't want to get involved, and they like to argue, and they like to get their foot in the door, and the first thing you know, they're sitting in the living room, and the next thing you know, you're having to sit there and listen to them. And the next thing you know, you're sitting in the kingdom hall. No, you're not. You ain't getting in the kingdom hall listening to Jehovah, because Jehovah is a false name. I want to repeat this now. I didn't come to make friends with the gospel. I come to make enemies. And if you are a Jehovah Witness tonight, you are worshiping in a false name. And you know it, and I know it. Anybody that studied the Bible knows that Jehovah is not the correct name. Now, on the other hand, if you are worshiping in the name of Jesus, believing that Jehovah is the Father and Jesus is the Son, you don't know Matthew 11:27. You need an education, and you need to hear the gospel, and you need to know the truth, and the Bible said the truth will make you free. Now listen to this. Listen to this now as we go over to the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 38. For he that shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he shall come in the glory of his Father. Now, what does that mean? With his holy angels. Well, if you will mark 8:38 and compare it to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, you'll see who that Father is coming with his angels sitting on the throne. Ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't three on the throne. It wasn't one to the right or to the left. There was one sitting on the throne, as it's indicated in Revelations 20 and 12. I saw the heavens open, and on the throne I saw one sitting up on the throne. Now, according to the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 6, and the book of Revelations, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, the Father and the Son was the same person. The Father veiled himself. Oh, my, this is a great miracle. This is a great mystery. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you have escaped and survived this great deception, God himself will send you a strong delusion when you think that you're standing. Take heed, lest you fall. I am so thankful for the man that come along and revealed this great mystery to me. How can you hear without a preacher, and how can he preach except he be sent? It was a lot of fasting and prayer and dedication, but I'm thankful for the little track that I got out of the state of Arizona, and I read, "Do you know the name of the Father and the Son?" And I was astounded when I began, and I said, "Oh, this can't be. Who are these people?" It's the same one that was saying in Matthew 28:19, "Listen to this mystery. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, I didn't say baptize them in the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. See, the Trinity people think that the Father's got a name, Jehovah, or Lord, in most cases. Most Baptists won't even acknowledge Jehovah. They'll say, that's the Lord. But then they go in the New Testament and they say, it's the Lord, but that's Jesus. Well, if you apply the Jesus in the Old Testament to the Jesus in the New Testament, one of those names doesn't add up in the Hebrew. And guess which one? I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm sorry that you're going to have to dig a little bit deeper, because Jesus is not even 500 years old. Couldn't have been Jesus. You'll say, "Doesn't matter, Pastor Buddy. God knows your heart." Well, then why should we go baptize in the name? It doesn't matter what name we use. Let's just use Freddy Cougar. Does it matter? Would you want to be baptized in the name of that hideous character that we saw on Elm Street? Would you want a preacher to come along and say, "Hey, man, it doesn't matter what name you're going to be baptized." Well, if it don't matter, I like old Freddy Cougar. Glory to God. Let's go down Freddy's name. We'll go down and baptize him in the name of Freddy Cougar. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't dishonor the name of the Father or the name of the Son. What is the name of the Father? The Son said, "I am." That's a causative verb, hallelujah, to be. And here at Hallelujah Acres, where we are teaching this marvelous truth tonight, and the word hallelujah is ringing clear and true in the hills of East Tennessee here tonight around the world on WWRV 3.185. And my, how we feel the anointing here to tell you that we pass from death to life, because we love you good enough to tell you that Jehovah won't make the grade, that Jehovah is false and erroneous, and that Jesus is false and erroneous, although you love it. Now, that doesn't make you evil, because you have been deceived. I know you're full of love. I know that you want to be saved. I know that you trusted in this name, because that's a name that you can read in the New Testament, but it's still not his name. You say, "Well, Pastor, maybe they wouldn't. God wouldn't let those people come in." Well, why did he give us this mystery? That he's hid it from the wise and the prudent and revealed it to babes. No man knows who the Son is but the Father, and no man knows who the Father is except the Son, and he, the Father, to whom the Son will reveal it. The Son knows what the Father's name is. And in Matthew 28:19, he said, go teach these people. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. That's Yahweh. All three of those definition of titles are purposely illustrating one name. And by one name are we all baptized into one body. It's marvelous. But if you're ashamed of him and his words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son, that body of flesh man, you see, the Father right now is in heaven sitting on his throne. 10,000 times 10,000, and saints adore him. They worship him. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And I looked, John said, and I saw one set upon the throne, and his hands had scars. He had a cut in his side. And I looked at him, and I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid hold upon me and said, "Get up, John, and look at me. Behold, I am he that liveth and was dead, and now am alive forevermore. I am the first and the last, and beside me there's no God." Matthew 28:19. Go baptize in the name of the Father. What's the Father's name? Ladies and gentlemen, before you make the leap, before you take it for face value, have some preacher to understand and to give you the message, because the Bible said, how can we hear without a preacher? And how can we get this faith without a preacher? For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the faith. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee." Abba, O Father. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get that spirit of grace and love, you're gonna know who Abba is. You're gonna know what the Father's name is. It's not Father. It's not Son. And it's not Holy Ghost. All these things that the Father has put in a great mystery and wrapped it up, I will send. Luke 24:49. "And I will send the promise of my Father unto you." Now, what's he talking about? He's saying, well, who's his Father, Pastor Buddy? What's the Spirit? Well, that means that God has got a Son, and that's two of them. No. The Father, the Eternal Spirit, was in that body of flesh he called Son. You see that? It's so simple. Can you comprehend that the whole Godhead, according to Colossians 1:15-22, the whole Godhead bodily is in that body of flesh? That God wanted to become a man. That it was impossible for you to become God, so he became a man that you might understand who God is. And he will not tell you until you confess the Son. And the Son will not tell you who the Father is until you acknowledge his name. Go and baptize in the name of the Father. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that name is magnanimous. That name is glorious. That name is powerful. And that name is above every name. Luke 24:49. "I send the promise of my Father upon you." I send the promise of my Father. Now, what was that? The promise of the Father was the Eternal Spirit. The same thing of the substance, as we, in part two, are going to examine the birth, on the wise of the birth. How that the Father developed this great mystery of the Godhead. How he hid himself in a measure of the flesh and revealed himself through the Spirit and give you a mission. What is the Father's name, and what is the Son's name, if you can tell? Now, let's go to John in chapter 4 and verse 23. "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Now, what does that mean? The Father, Eternal Spirit, wants you to adore that flesh and to remember that man that had nail scars in his hand. That the power of the eternal Godhead, the whole Godhead, now it had to be in segments, because because we know that the Bible said, he said, I am above and you all are from beneath. And all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, who gave him, the skeptics, who gave him that power? That power was allotted to him because in the very beginning, the Father who was a spirit said, behold, I'm going to create myself a body. I'm going to get in simplicity. And I'm going to walk down on earth and see if anybody can recognize me. They're going to see, ladies and gentlemen, today you have difficulty of really knowing who a person is. You can see the flesh man, but you can't see the man that's inside. Did you know that the Bible says there's an inward man and an outward man? If you have the X-ray vision that I'm trying to reveal to you tonight through the great mystery, and great is the mystery of darkness, for God the Father was manifest in the flesh. John 1:1, where we will begin in our next message, which will be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, we're going to tell you about the book of John and its application to the great mystery of the Godhead. You're going to be fascinated. It is so powerful. And it's a quick, sharp, two-edged sword, piercing, dividing even the asunder, the joint, and the marrow bone, and gets right down to the intents and the thoughts of the heart. It's marvelous to have this mystery. I pray, Father, tonight I pray from Hallelujah Acres here in Tennessee. I pray that you would reveal this great mystery. I pray, Father, for the eye save from glory. If there is a willing and a sincere heart tonight that's listening to Pastor Buddy here on the Shepherd's Call from Hallelujah Acres, I pray that you open their eyes if it be your will. I pray, Father, you give them the power to confess your name. I pray, Father, that you give them power to unlock these great mysteries. For great is the mystery of godliness. And therefore, in John chapter 5, verse 18, therefore the Jews sought to kill him more. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be hated for this message. You're going to be tormented from this message. You're going to be separated from your brothers. You're not going to run with a herd. You're going to be separate. When your wife and your children or your husband and their children go off to a church, you're going to sit there at home and you're going to be alone. And you're going to say, why did I get in this name? And then there's going to be something, a little voice in you say, be ye also ready to give an answer concerning the faith and revelation that I've showed you. Don't be ashamed of me. Stand for me and I'll stand for you. Love me and I'll love you. Obey me and I'll obey you. Whatever you ask, if you love me, keep my commandments and I'll do it. That's the command. Well, my time's coming on, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm so thankful to be here tonight. I'm here and I'm so thankful that I'm preaching to you if you're listening. If you're one of those little sheep that's confused about who the Father is, if you need comfort, if you need scripture, ladies and gentlemen, I would sit here all night on behalf of the Father and His will to be done in your life. We're going to talk about, the Father said, glorify thy name. And a voice came from heaven and said, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, what did he mean by that, Pastor Buddy? We're going to reveal that in part two of who is the Father. I want you to be with us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time around the world on live WWRB 3.185 on the transmitting Jewel of the South, that you could stay tuned and you could have a heart of truth and love shut above by the Holy Ghost. You can be in a false name. You could worship, and I was deceived. And that didn't mean that I was an evil, bad man. That just meant that the devil was evil and bad to deceive me. You see what I'm talking about? You're still good. You've got good intentions. You want to do good. You want to go to heaven. And you want to do the right thing. And if you do, and you've got an honest and sincere heart, the Bible says, those that will come to me, all that ever learn of the Father, the Son said, all that ever learn of the Father will come to me. And those that come to me, I will in no wise be cast out. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Oh, ever come to me. And he said, all that were ever mine will come to me. You see that? The Father ain't going to lose one, ladies and gentlemen. He would let this thing go on to eternity. The Bible said he's long-suffering, not willing that any of us should perish, but we would all come to repentance. And I hope and pray that you can come to repentance tonight. And you can call me here, area code 423-338-1972. Now, that's a new number for you here at Hallelujah Acres. This will be our permanent number here at Hallelujah Acres. And I hope and trust that you'll jot it down on your notepad and keep it in file. When we do our festivals from here at the Hallelujah Acre Festival site, that this is the number that you'll call. I'm here tonight. You can call me. Now, we just have one bank of phone. We don't have a lot of phone ability to take, put you on hold and wait. We only have one phone. Now, if the number is busy when you call, don't get discouraged. Keep calling until you get a hold of Pastor Buddy right here at area code 423-338-1972. Write that number down and call me tonight. And if you repent and you'd like to get baptized in the name of God, I had a message. My wife called me from up in Tazewell. And she called me yesterday evening and said, Pastor Buddy, there is a wonderful man that is from the state of Ohio, and he's expressed interest for him and his wife to be baptized in the name of Yahweh. Well, we're going to call that wonderful man when we get home and we get time, and we're going to tell him when he can get baptized in that name. And we'll tell you that. If you'd like to repent and get baptized in the name of Yahweh, you do so. I've got to get off here. I love you, and Yahweh bless you and keep you. Remember that telephone number. I'm live tonight here on WWRB 3.185. This is Friday evening, and I can take your call. If you'll be patient and call back, if you get a busy signal, call back and let Pastor Buddy talk to you. I'll give you counsel. I'll recommend friends and brothers around the country. If you have a neighborhood of somebody around the country that we know that would baptize you in a name, you wouldn't have to travel all here to East Tennessee to Pastor Buddy. But don't forget our fellowship coming up on the 3rd of October in Murphy, North Carolina. If you'd like to be baptized in the beautiful, clean, cold river of the Hiawassee, we're right on the banks right here in East Tennessee, on the Tennessee side. We're on the banks of the beautiful Hiawassee River. And we could take you down to the river and baptize you in the beautiful Hiawassee. Now, it also runs over through Murphy, North Carolina. And that's where we do our baptizing there. And that's been our home feast site for several years. We've been in North Carolina probably for the last 7 or 8 years and met wonderful people, loyal, trustworthy people. We have now decided on a feast site on this side of the mountain. We're just about 40 or 50 miles from Murphy, North Carolina. And if you'd like to have directions to Murphy, where we're going to be in festival, we would ask you to call, and we'll give you that information. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Time around the world on WWRB 3.185. Yahweh bless you. Shalom, and I love you.